Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Commanders' schedule will officially be out in full tonight, but it is trickling out over the course of the day. Latest rumor we've got here, there's a report that the Christmas Day game with the Cowboys will be played at 1, not at 4:30. So there's three games that day, 1, 4:30, and 8, I believe. And the question is it 1 or 4:30? Because we already have known for some time what the night game is, and that's the Broncos and the Chiefs from Arrowhead Stadium on Amazon Prime. But this is a Netflix game, one of the two early windows, and we haven't known 1 or 4:30. It sounds like it'll be a 1 o'clock kick at home against the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas. Washington's going to end the season, according to reports, final 4 weeks in the division at the Giants, Eagles at home, Christmas Day at home with the Cowboys, and then at the Eagles in Week 18. Of course, we've known they're going to Madrid to take on the Dolphins in Week 11 in mid-November. Some other primetime tilts that have trickled out today. Reports are that they'll be at Lambeau Field a week and a half into the season for the kickoff of Week 2 on Thursday Night Football. So a quick turnaround after their home game with the Giants. 1 p.m. tilt Week 1. They'll be at Lambeau, sounds like against the Packers in Week 2. And then the Bears in primetime again at home. It'll be a Monday nighter in Week 6.
So much prime timing. We ask you, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad, can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The Capitals are going to make some major changes, it appears, as they get ready for an elimination game at home against the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow night. I have been asking the question for really weeks at this point, even before the playoffs. Why can't they replace Lars Eller, who's been the weak link offensively, with Connor McMichael, even though he's been excellent at wing, move him to center, which is a position he's played a lot of over the years, and have their best possible skating, speed, and offense set up. And at least according to today's practice, with the rushes that they did, it appears that Lars Eller is going to be out, and they are finally going to make this move. I'd asked a lot of people about this, Danny, going back to last round when Lars Eller was struggling, in my opinion. He's got just a couple of shots on goal in 9 playoff games, 1 secondary assist in 9 playoff games, and his goal-scoring issues go weeks and weeks into the end of the regular season, so this is, you know, a long time in the making here. But they didn't want to make this move. They felt like it would be a panic move. They like McMichael on the wing better, so they didn't want to play him at his second position. They also think that you lose a little bit in terms of defense and, you know, the opportunity to win faceoffs. But finally, you know, they said it would be a panic move. We can't do it. Well, when can you make a panic move? When you're down 3-1 and it's time to panic a little bit.
Yeah, when you're facing elimination.
So McMichael to the third line. Basically, it's just a clean swap. They move him down to center. Eller goes to the bench. So you keep Mangiapane and Leonard with McMichael. I love the ability of Ryan Leonard with the speed to now skate with Connor McMichael on that third line. Protas, Dubois, Wilson, the second line. They move Bevilier back up from the fourth line to the top line with Ovechkin and Strome. And then the fourth line would be Duhame, Dowd, and Radish. So this would be the first time all postseason where both Leonard and Radish are playing on the wing in the bottom six.
So you're making, if these hold true, now remember, this is gamesmanship 30, this is Spencer Carberry, sometimes we'll do all sorts of bits and we don't know what we don't know.
It's a great
point. Assuming this goes according to plan, you've only done one swap out, which is Eller out, and then you move Radish back into the lineup. But in terms of line shuffling, you're moving a lot of pieces around, right? So McMichael goes from second line left wing to center. Protas, who was up at the top at one point, then he was on the right wing of that second line, now moves over to the left probably. Beauvillier moves around. Wilson moves from the top line last game to the second line. Not that that matters all that much. It's just when you make a swap like that, you're actually having a kind of a cascade effect where guys are going to skate with different people. At this stage of the year, everybody knows everybody. Everybody's buddies. Everyone's had a line rush or a million with a lot of these guys, especially some of the dudes that have been here for a long time.
The continuity, though, of the guys that you're used to skating with and being in your natural position is very significant, right? And so they like keeping that as often as they can, and they're going to try to, I'd imagine. So really, in terms of the lines, you're getting lines that we have seen for much of the season. The Ovechkin-Strom tandem has been together for the vast majority of the year. Beauvillier hasn't been a big part of that, but he was great in the Montreal series, providing speed, providing forecheck for that trio. So they move him back up. The Protas, Dubois, Wilson line has not been, you know, a traditional all-season line because McMichael's been in that Protas spot. But Dubois and Wilson, similarly as a tandem, like Ovi and Strome, have been pretty much locked together, other than game four that just happened when they moved Wilson up to line one. So I like having Dubois and Wilson back together. Protas, I mean, that is a huge line, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I'd imagine that you're going to see Rod Brind'Amour of the Canes do everything he can to keep that line away from the Aho line, his best offensive line. Because, I mean, that is as big a line as there is in hockey. Protas, Dubois, and Wilson. That's heavy. Much smaller, faster line, Mangiapane, McMichael, Leonard. That's, I don't want to say tiny, that's a pretty small line. And in terms of speed, it's probably going to be their fastest line, I would think. It's their best skating line by far. So we'll see. Everyone seems to think that, you know, they need more speed. We'll see how that line holds up. I personally worry a little bit about that line defensively, like getting the puck out of the defensive end, winning those draws on the defensive end. But it's not like that line with Eller was doing anything positive anyway.
And that's kind of my point here, is if they were so good defensively, and you go, we can't afford to lose it. Look at the shots for, look at the shots against.
They had the hardest time getting the puck out of the defensive zone.
Yeah, and that to me is why I said yesterday, what change would you make? That's my change. Stanley Cup hero, thank you for everything. I can't anymore. I'm not going down that way. Right, I'm going to take him out of the lineup, and I'll figure out the rest of it as we go, especially given what's at a premium. Right, what's at a premium is puck possession, getting generated offensive chances. If I lose a little bit defensively, which they probably will, swapping McMichael for Eller there, I can live with that, to be honest with you.
Duhaime, Dowd, Radish, the fourth line. That was their best fourth line, and it was the fourth line for almost the entire season. Mm-hmm. But when their fourth line was really humming and playing at its peak and the zenith of its campaign, kind of as a triumvirate, it was Duhaime, Dowd, and Radish. They are very similar players, right? It's frisky, it's physical, they battle on the walls and they win pucks and they give you everything they've got. I mean, those are three guys that scream fourth line together, all paired. I like that group. So going in on paper, Ovi, Strome, Beauvillier, we saw very good against Montreal. The second line you think of is huge and going to be successful defensively, if nothing else. I think they can also get some opportunities between Protas and Wilson. Those guys, despite their size, can skate and shoot. So maybe you get a rush opportunity. We've seen Protas score a goal in this series that way. Wilson did it all season long. Third line is where my questions are, and then the fourth line is going to be really good. But the one hope I have is pairing Leonard with McMichael allows him now to utilize the speed, the skating, and maybe gets him some offensive chances that he was not getting with Eller. Because he doesn't help you a whole lot on the defensive end of the ice. Not to say he's not good. That's not my point. But in terms of just digging pucks out, getting pucks out of the defensive zone, it has not been a strength. He's not big. He's not physical. He's not leaning on people. For him to impact the series, you're going to have to get something out of him offensively. Well, with Eller, who's dragging him down like a cinder block and a rope thrown into water, at this point, it wasn't happening. So where's the speed? I kept saying move him up to the top six. They didn't even have to. They're keeping him and Mangiapane in the exact same spot. But by moving McMichael to center, now you've got the speed of a top six line.
Yeah, so we talk about this different circumstances because this is second round of the postseason. But a lot of times we're talking about playing kids in different sports. I always would kind of say, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to lose? You already got that covered. You got that covered with the middling veteran. All right. Again, different circumstances than this one. I guess my point here is, if this doesn't work, you know what happens? Your third line's not great. I got a whole set of playoffs, and I got a whole set of regular season. where I can point to a third line that wasn't real good. That was the weak link of this team the entire 82 games now, plus, what are we, 9 games into the postseason? So, yeah, I it is worth a swap to me. It is worth a, I don't want to call it a Hail Mary, but it is worth some effort to try to reignite that group. So, yeah, you want to try to avoid, and if you get to game 6 in Carolina, that line might get exploited defensively a couple times. We'll jump off that bridge when we get there. Right now, they can't score, you know, or generate offensive chances. That line's got a better shot than it did before they made that switch. So I'm all in favor of it.
I think the key, we could stare at these lines as long as we, you know, you want to, and we could move the chess pieces around the board and try to figure out how they create more ops, whatever. If Logan Thompson doesn't play better than he did in Montreal, they're in a little bit of trouble. And I'm not blaming him for the 2 losses, but they are in a matchup where he has to be excellent. And he cannot allow easy, cheap goals. Because Carolina is the throw-the-puck-toward-the-net team.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to give you all of the easy opportunities with pucks that you see to make all the saves routinely. And generally, there's going to be 3-4 times in a game where you got to make a big save, right? And he has done that mostly in this series. But for the first 2 games against Carolina, he made all the routine saves. He was very sound with his glove. Everything he saw, he stopped. They never caught him leaning. There weren't any short side goals where he was out of position or anything like that. And those things happened in the 2 games in Montreal. In Carolina. But if you look at it, first 2 games at home against the Canes, save percentages of .940 and .964. 2 games at Carolina in this series, giving up a total of 8 goals for him with right around 65 saves. Save percentages of .857 and .892. So that's going to be my number one key coming back home to extend this series in game number 5. Logan Thompson has got to play like he did at Capital One Arena in games 1 and 2. Because if he gives up more than 3 goals, it gets really, really hard. And that's not a fair thing to ask of him. I mean, he's got to be exceptional. But more than even making spectacular saves, you know, I don't need the Holtby diving save. I'm not expecting anything, you know, well above average. I just need you to make all of the routine saves that you made in those 2 games, because most of the shots they take are not quality. And a couple of those shots went in on the road. And that was the difference to me in being able to win one of those 2 games when you scored a couple third period goals and getting blown out essentially in both of them in terms of the scoreboard.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's the you can't afford the deflator. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the one where you've played well and you've got the first 10 minutes, you got the run of play, but you don't have a goal yet, and then they get that one counter rush or the one soft shot from the point that you don't quite see that great. Like, those, you know the ones I'm talking about, where everybody's shoulders slump. If you're watching at home, you go, I knew it, or whatever. The grumbling, defeatist stuff that comes up.
Right.
Now, if an amazing play happens and they've earned it, okay, it sucks, too, that you let in a goal, but it's, to me, it's those... Not all goals are created equal. It's like I always talk about in basketball. Not every jump shot is the same, right? There's that one with no time left on the shot clock in a you know, one score game in the fourth quarter versus an open look off a screen in the first. It may be from the same spot, but they're different.
Did you see the Joker top of the key 3 last night?
I was thinking of that one, actually, when I made that analogy.
The soccer throw-in?
Do you mean where there was nothing happening and he pirouetted like he was doing a Mikhail Post move from the 80s, except it was from 30 feet away, and drilled it like he was... flipping soft toss to a kid?
That was
you mean
insane.
That one?
Now, things came apart at the seams for them in the next couple of possessions.
They sure did, yeah.
As Michael Porter
Jr. I would have just run that play again.
He just started chucking balls off the back of the glass. I would have just gone with the soccer throw-in Joker plan.
Yeah.
But they went away from that.
Jokic do a running fadeaway from 30 feet.
I think Thompson will be better. He was actually, I thought, after the 2 goals he gave up early in game 4. I thought he was much better as the game went on. Like, yes, they gave up 2 goals in the third and ended up losing 5-2. I'm not counting the empty netter. But both of those were breakaway rush-type goals. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was 3-on-2, and the guys just got time and space in front and goes tops over, you know, bar down. Like, that kind of stuff I'm not bothered by. It's the, hey, man, why didn't you catch that?
Yeah, like,
off your glove, sitting next to you on a bad rebound, banged home, can't happen. It's the, you're leaning left to get vision. Through a screen, and they shoot it into the very open area of the net that's, you know, near side, that kind of stuff. It wasn't goals he was allowing in either series, Montreal or Carolina, for so long this postseason. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan, another chance for you to win tickets to see the Caps and the Canes. We're going to be there tomorrow, by the way. I don't know if you heard that, but this afternoon it trickled out. here on a Darris Dameron email chain.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be at Capital One Arena, sections 106 and 107 tomorrow. So as fans get into the arena, they should come on by and say hello. That's fun. It's my kind of environment. It's so cold. I love that about it. The air conditioning, it's very dark
in
there.
Yeah, it's turned up.
Which is really cool. And then people are generally very excited when they get into the arena for hockey. Now, there's going to be a nervous energy tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It'll feel a little bit different than the previous broadcasts we've done. But I still enjoy that camaraderie and fellowship when nobody's eating my popcorn. It's a great place to be.
That's the one caveat you got to offer. When nobody on a table where a half-eaten tub of popcorn is sitting there reaches over every trinket and every goodie, basically into your lap, to take a shovel full of popcorn and throw it right in their mouth while they move their mask to the side.
Imagine
we should never forget
that, like, because there's a couple of little bottles of sanitizer and some, you know, keychains or something, that the half-eaten bucket of popcorn must also be the other thing that I can grab, right? So if you see three trinkets, you see a couple of the little rubber 106.7 the Fan hockey pucks, all of a sudden you're thinking, well, everything on this table is up for grabs. How do you make the leap to popcorn across the table, very near Grant, that's clearly being eaten and is like, there's not a lot in there.
If it was bubbling over, it's still a ridiculous mistake.
Right.
But it wasn't. Half eaten. Halfway gone. And I'm exhibiting behaviors. Otherwise, as someone who seems very concerned with germs.
Yeah.
And I tell you what I did is I moved my germ protector to the side to reach my hand into the bowl or bucket of popcorn that clearly at least one other person, maybe more, have been eaten from for a while. But yeah, it makes sense.
It's amazing. All right, the Beltway Blitz is coming up in 40 minutes at 4 o'clock. That's when we're giving away the Defenders tickets. Your next chance to win Caps tickets, we got a winner for this past hour, is coming up at right around 3:55 or so. So you got to be listening at that time if you want those tickets. The NFL schedule continuing to trickle out. We've got updates on the Commanders slate. We will officially have it in full tonight. You're listening to The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's NFL schedule day. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. We are Grant and Danny. Nats in action tonight in Atlanta, trying to make sure they don't lose an eighth straight game. That would be pretty gross. And the Capitals are off until tomorrow, and they try to extend their season against the Canes. Your next chance to win tickets coming up a little after 3:50. Got to be listening right here on The Fan. Danny, you just saw a story that caught our attention about the Tampa Bay Bucks.
I love this. So this is from the old Pro Football Talk. The Seahawks have warned their season ticket holders about excessive reselling. Remember, it's like, I don't know exactly what excessive means, but come on, man. If you're a habitual line stepper and take your season tickets and sell seven of them, then we're going to revoke them.
This was a story this offseason with several fan bases, by the way. Detroit was one of the ones I remember specifically, where they actually just terminated many season ticket holders who had tickets for years and years and years based on them giving away too many of their tickets. And they didn't really have a hard and fast number that I remember. If you gave away all your tickets, obviously they got said you don't need season tickets anymore. But there was no necessary warning about this. They just said you can't just get season tickets and then sell them constantly. If you're not going to the games, we don't want you to have season tickets. So they booted a bunch of people. But this has happened with a lot of fan bases.
Yeah, so this is what Tampa Bay is doing. The Buccaneers are introducing a ticket buyback program for season ticket members. This is from Greg Allman of Fox Sports. It allows season ticket holders to return tickets back to the team for up to two games in exchange for a credit toward 2026 season ticket renewal. The buyback window runs through the month of June. So in other words, if you go, hey, I got my season tickets, but I know now my cousin's getting married in a different city, whatever, October something or other. I can't make that. Then you don't have to do the resale thing or whatever. It goes back to the team. That money then gets credited towards your next year's season ticket. So it's, in other words, a way to kind of A, keep you in the program, but B, you get something back for it. You're not paying all the fees of the resellers and losing money on the deal. And then presumably the team is then going to be able to sell it to who they want, encouraging their own fans. So some people don't like this sort of stuff. They want the free market to reign. Here's my view on this. Every organization, every single team, it'll never be perfect. There are always going to be enemy fans in your home stadiums. It's the sport is too popular. Too many people move around. The freedom of movement's a wonderful thing in our country, and it's awesome. There's always going to be the Dolphins fan, the Chiefs fan, the Vikings fan, whatever, at Nub Stadium. That's always the thing. You should be doing everything you could possibly doing, a huge production, to let your fans know we want our fans here. So not only do we want our fans here, but we don't want the other ones. We're going to make it hard for them. They'll infiltrate. They'll get there. That's going to happen. This is such a wonderful gesture for me, for Bucks fan, for the Bucks to do with their own fans. I don't know how it'll go over, but I love it.
Absolutely it is. I wonder how common it is for teams to have a policy like this, or how rare this is at this point. To my knowledge, the Commanders don't have this. They should. Now, I understand why they don't, by the way, because you make it way... I would think if you had this policy, then as a consumer, it's better for me, which oftentimes is worse for you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm buying season tickets without this policy, I'm likely to have to either eat a bunch of tickets or to then sell those tickets or give them away or whatever, and I'm out the money. Whereas in this case, it's the team's job to go find someone to use the tickets.
Right, you don't have to do anything else.
Exactly. I get the tickets, and I realize my schedule comes back, and I go, okay, I can't be there week 2, week 6, week 11. These three games I don't need. And they're assuming it's face value. I don't know that the price is one for one. It really probably shouldn't be, honestly. Like, there should be some... I'm putting in a lot of work here as a team. I should get something out of it. So maybe, you know, it's 80% of the price or whatever. But they go, we'll take those tickets for you, and we'll redistribute them to people that want them. Now you're doing the work, not the consumer. And so I understand why the team wouldn't want to be involved. They just want to sell the tickets and go like this. Hands are out of it.
Well, that
hands
was...
clean. But the problem with that is that's why they did the 10,000 seat blocks to the ticket brokers. They don't really care what happens to those seats if you're in Dan Snyder's
what
era.
I was going
to
bring up.
And when you just sell them, you go, hey, we'll sell you 15,000 seats at the rate that we're trying to sell them at. And they go, yeah, no problem. Well, then they go, and with their fees and all the markups and everything, they go make a profit. So everybody kind of wins except the consumer, who's got to sit there next to 4,000 Eagles fans who got them online.
Who got the block, yeah. And that's what it was. Under Snyder and company, they, you know, we all know how everything went, but it was basically they were partnering with StubHub or whatever the ticket broker sites were before anyone else was. And it was kind of this almost preferred way of doing it, where the sales associate that's got had that really tough job for a while of selling those tickets would go, my work's done, right? I did it the first day of the month. I found some broker to bus people down from New York or take the train down or, you know, to come up from Carolina or whatever the hell it was. So this way, now I don't think you could do this for the Local 53 just yet. I don't know that there's still enough demand where if one Washington fan couldn't go to a certain game, you'd guarantee that another one is like dying to take his place. You could have back in the day at RFK. At the new stadium, though, if and when that happens and we're all locked and loaded,
you could do that.
I do think the demand is coming where you can go, you know what, we're going to have some policies in place. We'll make it convenient this way. Not just without warning, rip your tickets from you because we think you may have given them to a Lions fan or something. We'll do it this way where, hey, you know you can't make a couple of games. Don't go through the hassle of you know, pricing them a certain way or trying to figure out where the demand is. They might end up in the hands of an Eagles fan or something like that. Give them back to us. We'll give you credit for it, and we'll handle the hassle. We'll do the hard part because we're professional ticket sellers. You're a dude. You're just a person that's going to go to some games. We are in the business of selling tickets. Let the people who are in business of selling tickets sell the tickets for you. I love that.
What's the next step after they get the tickets back, I wonder? So they buy back the tickets from Danny, the season ticket holder, who's not going to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do they just have that as part of the allotment that's for sale on their website? It's just their tickets to sell?
So that's a great question.
What I think they should actually do is have a pool of season ticket holder seats where there might be a game where I want three extra seats. Now, they're not obviously going to be able to bunch them close to me. Maybe there's a way that you can get as close as possible or something. But in a world where you almost, like, here's the example I'll use. For the Orioles, we have a very small, like, season plan where we actually just put money into an account, and then we can use it over the course of the year. So if it doesn't work out,
flex plan or something?
Exactly.
Kind of
thing? Yeah. So let's say that we put $600 into an account for Orioles tickets over the course of the year. Couple weekends ago, they were at home, schedule aligned, we didn't have anything, and we said, let's take the kids up to Camden Yards in Baltimore. So we went to the Orioles game, we got club-level seats, because with our kids, you just can't be out in the sun, and you know, it's a giant pain in the ass. So we sat, we had the indoor seats where they can run around inside and do all that. We put a dent into our, you know, $400 plan or whatever it is, where if you did that, you could probably only go 2+ times in a year. I might go this weekend. My birthday's on Saturday. I might go and just get a crappy seat out in right field or whatever and sit near the flag court. That's only going to cost me $23 for my plan. My point is, in a world like that for the Commanders, it would be really nice if normally I have 4 seats.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a weekend where I need 3 more seats. If I could dip into the season ticket pool with what's been returned, and then some weeks it's like the leave a penny, take a penny at 7-Eleven, I only need 3 of my seats. So I'm going to give one of my seats back. Now, they'll pay me for it. There's
right,
money.
Right, right, right.
But at least it goes into a pot for other season ticket holders who that day might have a relative in town.
That's interesting.
That need one. Or do they just say, and I imagine it's this, we paid you the money, we're going to do what we want with the tickets, and now we're just selling them on commanders.com.
Yeah, and so I think the point of this, because the focus of the little spiel here, is they've had a number of times where it was Lions, Eagles, and actually the Commanders, the Local 53, have attended games really well in Tampa. They're trying to prevent that. So by controlling the tickets and not letting third-party sites do it, you're now in control of where those go, whereas StubHub doesn't care. You give me the $189 or not, and they go to where they go. This way you can control the zip code. You can control the home address that's given for whoever, you know, whatever protocols you want to take. And again, you're never going to be 100%. So people always say, well, it's never going to be perfect, so why do it? And that's something I always brush back against, is don't let the perfect be the enemy of good. I think this is a big deal for a lot of people. I know I'm just putting my own feelings about it, but like when you pay your hard-earned money and you're looking around, you're going, this guy got here via StubHub for $6. I'm a season ticket holder. What perks do I get? Well, he's here next to me, and he's yelling at me in my own stadium.
That's not you being foolish or something. That everybody thinks that way.
Right.
I've asked the question a million times over, because we do it. We pay it. What is the benefit to being a season ticket holder? For many, many years, there was not one.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you sold your tickets to games you couldn't, well, first of all, you couldn't. But in the rare occasion where you did, you got 60 cents on the dollar.
At best, we
ended up giving away the tickets. Now it's going to be different, possibly. But even still, if I can just get individual single tickets one by one, and the price is the same, If you're not getting cool things with being a season ticket holder, what's the point? Now, they do some cool stuff. For many years, they had what they called like a yards club, and you would accumulate yards, like points, football parlance, where after 50 yards, you got to choose between a few things. And you could go down on the field before the game and kick a field goal. Or, you know, for 25 yards, you could go get an autograph from Ken Harvey or whatever. And they accumulated, some people, hundreds of yards. But then after the sale and, you know, with the changes and Jason Wright's group and all that, they just got rid of that. So if you just had 242 yards built up, sorry.
Yeah.
Kick rocks.
I got Henry Ellard in yards. What do I get?
Exactly. They got nothing. I know that a season ticket holder that's in our text chain and in our little tailgating group, his family was at, I don't know if it's Busch Gardens. It's got to be Busch Gardens because Six Flags is kind of nubs. But they were at Busch Gardens this weekend, and it was like a Commander's Busch Gardens special where you got access to the park, and for like an hour, you're the only one in there and whatever else. And I think there's like players and coaches and people wandering around. It sounded pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
That's a pretty sweet thing. So they do some stuff like that. But you have to do a bunch of stuff like that to make people want to be season ticket holders. I understand why teams wouldn't want to do the buyback plan that the Bucks are doing at this juncture, because you risk losing money.
Yeah.
When the tickets get sold the first time, now you've made the money. If they come back to you, I've got to sell them a second time or I'm screwed. It's the equivalent of saying, it's like offering, if you send your food back, you don't have to pay for anything, basically. Because it's like, well, I made it, I sent it out, we're doing pretty good, we got someone to come into the restaurant. Well, now, as soon as they send it back, I've got to find someone else to send it. Like, it doesn't work. So, should teams do it? Yes, I understand why they don't, but good on the Bucks.
Yeah, so the one point, and I think you're right, though, it's a matter of accounting. They're not handed cash back. They get credit for next year's season tickets, but it's still money has changed hands.
But
you would lose.
Yeah, that's money that next year you're not getting for those tickets.
Right, if you're not able to move them and sell them, to your point. And I think you're right about that. I think you can only do this if you feel like there's enough demand, right? Well, there's a lot of teams. Again, I don't think Washington could do this yet with their current stadium. I think they'll be able to.
Demand's way up, but it's probably not up enough.
It's not up to the point where I would have so much confidence if I turn in my, I'm just making up a number, my $200 ticket for that game that I would 100% get $200 for it. People are going it more than they did before. That's obvious. There's more demand. It's not to the point where it's a must have. I think if you view it that way, you're going to go, I may lose on this deal, but it's worth it to me to show my fans that, A, we care about them. B, we care about not having opposing fans scream at them in their own sections.
Just makes it, though, way more appealing to be a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
And that should be one of their biggest priorities. Their season ticket base was down massively. I mean, the number I heard at one point, now this was before the sale. This was rock bottom. This is Jason Wright era.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to
fix it. Yeah.
Revitalize it. Was like that they were down to 9,000-ish season ticket holders.
And your NFL average was in the high 20s.
9,000 was the number I heard at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is staggering, and if it's true, that is, frankly, I can't even wrap my head around. Knowing full well, like everybody else, that the season ticket waiting list was mostly alive for a long, long time. But that's unbelievably cratering.
Yeah.
So they've open the books. They see those things. They know how much work they've got to do. They probably can't operate like a Bucks or one of these organizations where it's very healthy. But when they get there, you'd like to see them do some things like that. Double Play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. In about 15 minutes or less, we're going to be giving away another pair of Caps tickets to a listener on Grant and Danny.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At the end of this segment, we're giving away another pair of Caps tickets to the Game 5 tomorrow night with the Canes. A win, and they are down 3-2, going on the road, one win away from evening the series. A loss, and their season is over. It's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Great, a little bit of a quiz for you. Pop quiz, hotshot, what do you do? The network that had shows like The Wire, Sopranos, Sex in the City, etc. What was that network called?
That's HBO.
They had an app for it. What was that app called?
Well, it's changed names a bunch of times.
But what was it called?
Max.
It was called HBO Max. Then it became
Max.
Blank Scherzer.
Well, I'll actually go back further than that.
Yeah.
HBO was the original app that they used.
HBO Go.
Then it was HBO Go.
Uh-huh.
That was number two. Then it was HBO Now.
I forgot about Now.
Yeah, you shouldn't forget about Now.
Don't forget about Now.
Then it was HBO Max, which seemed fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
Then they dropped the HBO for the first time. From HBO to HBO Go to HBO Now to HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we don't need to be known as HBO. We're just going to be Max.
So
as of yesterday, when I scroll to the left to go find Real Time with Bill Maher and click on it and watch a little, which, by the way, I agree with everything. I'm not saying I agree with everything.
Come on.
On that program.
It goes without saying.
I agree with everything you guys think, and I disagree with everything you guys think as well. But when I did my little scrolling to go find a film on HBO Max, I clicked on that purple app, HBO Max, and it was actually, then it was called Max.
It was just Max.
And not today.
Not today. Now it's HBO Max. Here's what happened. So the good folks at Warner Brothers Discovery decided we can't just have HBO. We're going to do a Max because it's a big deal. What we're going to do is take all the prestige, excellent, amazing, innovative, cutting-edge, wonderful dramas and programming on HBO and combine them with our absolute turds, with our crap, with the stupid reality crap, with the dumb I want to get married, but I don't know anybody show, or I'm overweight, but videotape me all the time shows, all of their nonsense that they do, which is terrible and embarrassing. They wanted to combine those two things and put that under one umbrella, and they couldn't have HBO in the title anymore. It was just Max. Max. They now realize that, oh, that dilutes the great thing, which is HBO, and we need to separate HBO from the things that suck and are embarrassing.
It's just such a bad blunder.
It's one of those, what they call an own goal or unforced error or whatever. So now they're going back to HBO Max again. So all the, I mean, nothing changed. If you still want to watch an episode of The Sopranos, you go to HBO Max.
HBO Max to Max to HBO Max. It's just embarrassing for them. Also, if you remember, when they made the change, everyone made fun of them. They got destroyed for it. correctly. Everybody made the same point. Wait a second. HBO Max, which is HBO, is just becoming Max. Why are you running from home box office as a brand? HBO is a significant winner. HBO is when you buy your cable programming.
It's the prestige, man.
Do I need my sports plan? Do I have HBO? Those are the questions you ask. All the great shows over the last 25 years before Netflix and some of these streaming devices mm-hmm. like Apple or Hulu came along to give you bangers, it was HBO. That's who did all the shows because it wasn't on cable. There's cursing and there's boobs and there's all the stuff that makes shows good on HBO. That's who has the shows. Now it's the streaming services.
Yeah, so there's no Breaking Bad. There's no Mad Men. There's no AMC unless you have HBO and that prestige television. It became the hub for it. And that brand was so powerful and so awesome. But they looked at it, these executives that make so much money. They said, you know what we should do? We should try to get as many subscribers as Netflix. We don't like the few number of subscribers for this group that's so pretty dependent on cable that people associate it with, like a cable extension, et cetera, right? So we're going to try to bring everyone under this one umbrella to try to compete with Netflix and Disney Plus and all the other different spots. And, of course, it failed miserably. So Max dies in a fire and HBO Max comes back. But it's still the same, but just a different name.
Just imagine running from the popular brand.
Yeah.
Put in a list. This is IMDb. You could look up any of them. But I just looked up
the bangers.
The best TV shows ever. Breaking Bad is one. Wonder where that one came from.
Mm-hmm.
Band of Brothers, same.
Mm.
Chernobyl, The Wire. It's one after another after another. It's the 27 Yankees. It's HBO, man. The Sopranos. Where was, I don't think this was actually HBO, but I could be wrong. The one show, and I've never watched this, but I actually think I would love it. John Hamm.
Mad Men. That's AMC. So was Breaking Bad, by the way.
Breaking Bad was AMC also.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So AMC has the ability to do the cursing and the boobs and the HBO stuff?
Not to the degree that HBO does.
Because I thought the whole Mad Men was just a bunch of like January Jones getting naked on a desk. Am I wrong about
that? Yeah, it's not quite that. So it's still network, but they do use some potty mouth. But it's not like HBO,
but
where you could see whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's very networking. But the point is, you don't get those kind of prestige shows where people are going, well, let's try to do that too
yeah.
without HBO. Because as you said, 80% of those ones that you did mention are HBO shows.
It's just Game of Thrones is next.
Come on.
One after another here. It's just, I remember watching that on HBO. I remember watching that. Some of the miniseries that they had, those like 4 to 6 8 episode bangers, little things you forgot you ever watched. Remember how much I loved The Night of?
Sure.
I mean, Chernobyl's an all-time.
The 8 episode arc. Boardwalk Empire, which gets lost in the sauce because nobody ever even remembers it, for goodness sakes, but it did massive numbers.
I'll tell you some shows.
I mean, The White Lotus, the pop culture iconic thing that everyone talks about.
Yeah, I'm down on The White Lotus.
Me too, but still.
You slept on Boardwalk Empire. You never liked that show, and you should have.
I always thought it was overrated.
You slept on. What was the other one that was? 6 Feet Under. Remember that one?
I do. I that's another one I slept on.
Were you a Big Little Lies guy?
No.
No. Okay. Very good. Yeah. I don't know, man. All the great shows. People love HBO, and they didn't want to be associated with.
They're like, we should probably distance ourselves from that.
So embarrassing.
Never ever made sense.
Here's what doesn't make sense.
Hmm.
You and I just giving away Caps tickets left, right, and center.
We're giving away so many.
All we do is give away Caps tickets. We're just trying to use Caps tickets to win over you liking us. That's what we want.
It's kind of we're bribing you.
Let's do it again. Right now, congratulations to caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. You're winning round 2, home game 3. That is tomorrow night, game 5, against the Hurricanes. Tickets for you and somebody else. Thursday, May 15th. That's tomorrow. Tickets. More information available. TheFanDC.com. Our Beltway Blitz is next.
I'm sorry, you spent government money on a TV subscription?
It's not TV.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.